Frank said no.
Who said no?
Frank?
We got a lot of ground to cover tonight. And I'm going to move through the first part kind of quick. The second part, we're going to get into actual resources. And so some of the stuff, if we don't get completely through actual resources, then we can cover it more on Saturday night for those of you that plan on coming. I do want to say this because you can be thinking about this while we're in class.
One just thing to throw out there real quick while I'm thinking about it, otherwise I'll forget at the end. On the website, there's a place for you to go to add the subject that you choose to study. So if you're going to give more guidance on that, go
right
for
now.
It.
How many have thought through what you want to do it on?
Okay.
Yeah, you guys have? Okay. Listen, if you can, because next week you realize, now listen, I don't want anybody getting nervous or embarrassed right now. Okay? We're all adults, or close enough. So don't stress out. What we've done in the past, and here we're just kind of going through it right now, because what we've done in the past is to split you into groups. I gave the subjects, they got studied out, and then somebody in the group was a presenter, and obviously it was somebody that felt comfortable talking and all the rest. Okay? Well, you guys chose last week to do them individually. That's fine. Okay? I would like you guys to present what you found. But listen, if anybody is just stark raving mad, scared about doing it, just be honest with me. I don't want you. This whole class is about us, the resources going forward, growing, and all the rest. I don't want somebody stressing out and just all week can't even hardly study it out because you're stressed about presenting it. At least present it in writing. Everybody got that? Okay? But at the same time, I'm not letting everybody off the hook. Some of you I know do fine, and whatever. So we do want to present them, okay? And that's what usually the whole last thing is about, okay? In presentation, we kind of pick through stuff. Not how thorough you were, not if you did good or bad. Say, hey, these are the resources I've used. I take that opportunity. The president could take that opportunity. Say, hey, did you try thus and so? Because we can tell by the presentation where stuff came from. So I was talking last week, and I'm not being funny. I can tell some of these young guys preach. I can tell if they've been blue-lettered. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. But I can tell because I know the format, the blue letter. I'm getting ready to show you guys. It's no secret how it comes out. In your presentation, not across the board. This isn't a know-it-all statement. I'm going to be able to tell kind of where you guys have been. And I'm going to be able to say, hey, have you thought about looking here and how? Okay, does all that make sense? It's not picking. Because everybody's comfortable with how they did it. So, anyway, so, number one, subject matter. If you've already got it, then before we leave out of here tonight, let me know. Okay? If you haven't, then obviously you need to know before Saturday, but I don't want you going off on a wild goose chase and studying something out until you've said something, because I don't want it to be something goofy. I'm just being honest. You guys, that's just me, okay? I mean, so, okay, does that make sense? So if you can't, think through it. It doesn't have to be, I don't care if you guys are on the same thing. It doesn't have to be something, oh man, I found this neat subject way down here. Do it on some basic, some, do it on repentance, do it on the blood, do it on whatever. So, Don't stress out. There's nothing to stress out about. It's about figuring out resources. So, Saturday will be a time of study. I don't know what it is, the extra credit part. That's with you and Brother Preston. I don't know about if it's absolutely mandatory. It's between you and Brother Preston, but I do want to tell you it's very beneficial. It will help you. If you can do it, do it. And then it's going to definitely help you out for next week. Okay? So, we're going to go through levels of study super quick. And then we'll get into specific resources. I'll say this, and then I'm going to dive in. By no means do I think I have cornered on the market on any of this. You hear me? Okay? And I'm not being humble by saying this. There is people way more qualified than me in this church that can teach this class. I'm very aware of that. If they ask me to do it, I'll do my best. Okay? So, in showing this stuff, it's not like, well, I'm so glad you guys came tonight because I'm fixing to show you. That's not what it is, and I don't think that. So, we just dive in. Okay? So, levels of study. These are pretty across the board basic for the first seven levels. Okay? Say, whoa. Well, guess what? After these seven, there's seven more which we don't teach and go into. And then many scholars believe there's even seven more. 21 levels of study. Brother Wilson has a really good breakdown of these. Somebody's really, really interested in it. I have it, but very interesting. We will get through the first seven because they're very basic, and you need to understand there's a difference between just grabbing your Bible and reading through your Bible, okay? Number one level of study is literal level, the most basic. It's just at its face value, just totally, literally reading it for, you know, exactly what it's saying. Obviously, the Bible portrays stories about people, their lives. You read the story of Zacchaeus, and you read about a little short guy that climbed up in a tree, and God walked by and said, what are you doing with the tree? I'm going to go to your house today. That's the literal level. It's basic as could be. That's the story. That's all it means. Okay? No symbolism, nothing. Just literal level. Basic. You grab your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John through the Gospels, and you're just reading stories. It's like you would read a book, whatever your guys' favorite authors are. A lot of you guys are looking at me and saying, what do you mean author? It's a comic book. Okay, great. That's a literal level. Okay, just basic. Second level is the principle level, based on principles. Okay? When it comes to principles, you're reading and you're kind of, that's what it's the first level of kind of starting to dig a little bit. Trying to be like, what's the meaning behind this? And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself when I say this, but it's okay, we'll come back to it. But, you know, you read through the Gospels and you start reading a parable. And you start saying, okay, why was God speaking to him in parables? What's the principle behind this? Okay? And so it's the principle level. A neat way to read the principle level, okay, is if you're reading a passage of Scripture, have a notepad beside you, and anytime you cross something that you think is an underlying principle, write the principle down. Just write it down and say, you know what? He's hitting on giving there. He's hitting on redemption. Man, that's in reference to the underlying tone of forgiveness. Whatever. Just start writing down the principles behind it. And sometimes it's kind of fun that, and I've done this, is you read, say you do a reading, you read a chapter, and just read it at the literal level. Boom, push through. I've done this. We're going to cover seven levels tonight, okay? Is you find a passage of Scripture you enjoy, read it through at the literal level. Read it through. Just read it. Read it. Don't even try to dig. And then go back through and say, okay, how many principles can I find in here? And we're going to go through, obviously, five more levels. And go through and reread the chapter, and each time try to fulfill the study habit, or, you know, whatever, the type of study. And it'll blow your mind, because at first you're like, you're kind of going through it. Then you get done with seven of them, and you look back and you're like, whoa. And then obviously the tie. And anyway, that one single passage of Scripture now begins to, in a sense, come alive. So, principle level, write those things down. James Gross, he was here teaching to the ministers one time, and this is what he said. He says, always seek the partner when you're looking at principles, because in Scripture it says, the line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He says, always seek the partner. Since the correct way of biblical doctrine is line upon line, precept upon precept, we ought never to extract a single verse and seclude it from its partner. Error is quick to come to those who forget this principle. James Gross said that. So when you read something, you're like, oh, whoa, that means this. Make sure you're finding other Scripture, okay, to confirm that and buddy up with that verse and confirm it. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay? So Judas went out and hanged himself. Read it at the literal level. Oh, he did wrong. He should hang himself. Therefore, I did wrong. I should hang myself. He's like, what are you talking about? Exactly. You're exactly right. What am I talking about? It doesn't mean it's a stupid thought or principle. It's a stupid... It doesn't tie in with anything else. Nothing else shores that statement up. It's a dumb statement. Okay? So always seek out the partner scripture. Okay? Level three. Personal level. Personal level. How do biblical principles apply to me? How does this verse apply to my life? What's this verse telling me? James 1, verse 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. Let's talk about the glass. Mirror. So, he's saying, it's like somebody standing in front of the mirror, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. Let me just tell you guys this, okay? You're glad that when I looked in the mirror, I decided to do something by shaving tonight, so I looked like a ragamuffin, and combed my hair. And I'm thankful that you guys did something when you looked in the mirror, okay? You say, well, that's kind of funny. Well, it's the same way with Scripture. If you read the Scripture, and you understand what it's telling you, and then you turn around and walk away, that's what James said. You're not doing anything about it. So, personal level, okay? Level four, getting a little bit deeper. The symbolic level. Symbolic level. I'm going to read something really quick. I think we got time to do this. We'll do it. Read fast. As I'm reading, if you have pen and paper, I want you to write quick notes on symbolism in this very, 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 very familiar portion of Scripture. If you don't have notes, save it in your head because obviously you deemed it that you can contain it all. Okay? So, you ready? We'll go fast. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which they took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Okay? Who's the 10 virgins in this? Someone said saints. Okay? What's oil represented?
Holy Ghost.
I mean, obviously in types, nothing is just, oh, it has to. Okay, but you're right. Okay, symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Okay, interesting that, always been kind of interesting to me, what does sleep represent? Don't forget that they all slept. So it's kind of interesting there. Anyway, so you get into symbolism. Bridegroom is marriage supper, obviously, probably marriage supper lamb, taking them away. Give us of your oil. Why didn't they give us their oil? Well, now, there's no wrong answer. David?
Why didn't they give
them? Yeah, why didn't they give, why didn't the ones that had oil give them their oil?
Because they wanted to be repaired.
What's that? I think it goes deeper than that.
I can't
give you the Holy Ghost. You're right. Yeah. You can't get the Holy Ghost. You can't get oil. Go and get it where? Where they buy and sell it. Do we buy it? No, it's been purchased for us by Jesus Christ, but we get it from God. So, you go into this passage of Scripture, you read the story and say, oh, that's a cool story. Or you get into the principle level. Or you go into the symbolic level. And everything in there could take on a symbolism. Then one that you've heard preached and taught about a lot would be the...
Good Samaritan's
exactly the same. Good Samaritan. You go through all the types of symbolism and pull that out of there. Brianna, take this really quick. Give her a word You can do it out of the, we gotta move quick. I gotta get moving here. But anyway, give her a word in scripture that we want to know symbolism of. Come on, let's come up with a word. Diamond, talk to me. A word. Anything. I don't use this one, but water, okay?
See.
Give her a word. Anyone, come on.
Anyone. Dictionary.
It's a dictionary. And it may not be in there because it's a type dictionary. You can think of one. You're a Bible quizzer. You can give us a bunch. Come on. House? Good. Do it. Look up house. So when it comes to symbolism stuff, we're going to get into resources and stuff. This is a Bible type dictionary. House may not be in there. Yeah. Okay, house is in there. Okay. Obviously, you're going to get buried because I can already see she's got a bunch of entries. So, if she was saying house out of a certain scripture, that would narrow it down more. And it tells you what the type is in that certain scripture. Pick one, bring it in, and read it to us. Just any one of them. See the readouts, yeah.
This is the type of...
This is Isaiah 66 and 1.
This is the type of building which the Lord expects each believer to construct in his life for the glory of God and the blessing of men. This house was... have a right foundation, Jesus Christ, a heating plant to keep the house and soul on fire for God, a kitchen so that food may be prepared for the soul, a library for the education and instruction of the mind, a music room to keep the heart singing, a parlor for hospitality, a bedroom for rest, a bathroom for cleansing, an attic for storage, and also the light of the word and the water of the spirit.
Okay, simply from her saying house, you take a dictionary of Bible types, and if you wanted it, you have a Bible study. Did you catch all that? Did you catch what she was saying? What you needed every aspect of the house for? Okay, you guys didn't even know it, but Diamond just got a message. Okay? She wants to go preach tonight on the house. She's got it right there. Simply out of resources of taking something past the principle, the literal level. You with me? Okay? Everybody may not be so into this lesson today, but you hear me out right now. If you're wanting to spend any time studying and you're interested in the Word of God, it gets fun really quick.
Yeah.
You hear me? Really quick. Okay? We're going to go back into that later, and it'll be here Saturday. It's simply, I'm ahead of myself, a dictionary of Bible types. Every word may not be in there. The is not going to be in there. Okay? So, and ain't going to be in there. But water, blood, word, lion, dog, they're going to be in there because when they're put in scripture, it's put in scripture to give it, it's in there as a type, okay? So, the symbolic level, we're only on level 4. I got to move quick, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, types and antitypes. First man, Adam, scripture proves this out. Second man, Adam, being Jesus Christ. We don't have time to go through all this, but type and antitype, who they were a type of. A great one is... it'd be symbolic too, but the book of Philemon is a great type, antitype passage of scripture. It's written, and anyway, I don't know, we can get hung up. We can go to any one of these levels, you know that, and just get hung up at. So type and antitype, we got to, okay. Repeating themes, okay, throughout the whole scripture, repeating contrasting themes, wise and foolish. Old man, new man, anyway, repeating themes, and then the prophetic level, okay? Prophetic level, don't get nervous, prophetic level, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Hosea, is you start reading it, Ezekiel, you want deep water, it's there. That's the seventh level, would be prophetic level, prophecies. Okay? I'm just going to list these. We are not going into them. And furthermore, I am probably not the guy to teach them. But seven more levels. Allegorical. Okay? Multiple application. Contextual. Sanctuary symbolism. Metaphorical. Mathematical. Poetical. And I think there's seven more. So, anyway. All of these are interesting, but nothing in its real sense is as, at its literal level, the Bible could stand alone. Can I say it like that? To get something out of the Word of God, you don't have to say, oh, I've got read it, the whole thing on a metaphorical level before I get touched. You're being dumb. The Word of God can handle it on its own. So, finding gems of truth. We need to move quick. Remember this. The Bible will interpret itself. If you follow simple principles, the best interpretation for Scripture is Scripture itself. It's the best. The number one thing. To get to study it, you need a King James Bible. A good concordance is helpful, or access, and we're going to tell you about those right now, the online resources, which years ago was not possible. And I know I'm telling my age, and I sound like just an old guy, and you guys think this old man up here is crazy, but I'm telling you right now, studying the Bible before took a lot of work. And when they got online resources, literally, I could sit in my chair with my laptop. I used to have to sit there, and I'd have, honest to God, sometimes, I'm not joking. I'm not kidding you. There would be times, if I was getting into something, I may have all those sitting around, you know, within reach. Because you're onto something. Now you sit in a laptop, or my iPad, just shoop, 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 shoop. It's all right there. Okay, so that's awesome. Anyway, but you don't have to have that. So, in studying, sometimes, this is just me, begin with a word that's caught my eye. I want to better understand what that word is meaning. Once you start digging down and finding that, one of the neatest ways to really start digging in and studying is to get the word in proper context. That's huge. Proper context. Proper context. Okay? I'm just telling you guys right now. Okay. Can I be really honest with you? Anybody that doesn't have this edition of the Open Bible should be really, really jealous. Okay? I've worn two of these out completely to where they're falling apart just terribly. This one is about there, and I told my wife what I want for Christmas is I want it rebound because they don't make them anymore. This one, if you read the front, you can give you guys all something just hee-haw about a little bit. What's that say, Ellie?
Oh,
you like that? I wore out my last Bible. I was sad as could be. It says Richard Gillette. Richard Gillette, okay? I was dying. He's like, I think I got one of those. I said, no, you don't. I said, you don't have one. They don't make them anymore. I think I do. No, you don't. He showed up. It was perfect. And he gave it to me. That's sweet. Anyway, these are awesome. And I'm going to tell you several reasons why, okay? But one of them for context, and the newer ones have this part. They do have this part. And what it is in the beginning, and some Bibles have this, but the way this Bible laid, maybe it's because of the first one that we started studying with. Anyway, okay? So, 1 Kings. I just opened to 1 Kings. In the beginning of this, of the book, this is what it says. There's a whole section that says the book of 1 Kings. Okay? First half of 1 Kings traces the life of Solomon, blah, blah, blah. So it breaks down 1 Kings. It's an overview. Then it goes through the author of 1 Kings. Okay? Author of 1 Kings and 2 Kings is unknown. But evidence supports the Talmudic tradition that Kings was written by the prophet Jeremiah. And it goes through why. They believe that. Okay? The time of 1 Kings, book of Kings was written to the remaining kingdom of Judah before and after its Babylonian exile. It goes through when it was written, the Christ of 1 Kings, what was their image of God at that point? This is way back in the Old Testament. It goes through that. The keys to 1 Kings, what are the key things in this passage? And it goes through all the keys, and then it goes through the survey, and then it gives a timeline. That is invaluable when you begin to study something that's happening in Kings. It's invaluable. It is invaluable. And I apologize. Maybe I'll remember some by the time we do Saturday. But like timelines, when you realize like the timeline from Adam to Noah and who is still alive and it'll blow your mind, because it, when somebody starts preaching about something, it gives so much weight to what's happening and when it's happening, why it's happening. So context of a verse, okay? When you begin to study something out, you want to get context. Second thing that's really healthy to get, if you can, is the historical setting. If you're really digging something out, you don't do your daily Bible reading like this, okay? This is when you're studying something, okay? The cultural aspects are huge. And if you can find them out, then that's great. We're going to talk about stuff. But Haley's Bible Handbook, this little tiny book right here, they've been around for years, is really good about that kind of stuff. Just real simple nuggets that tell you about when Scripture is written and all the rest. So, all these things are important. I'm going to go through some online resources. I don't know if we have much time to go through them tonight. I will go through them as deep as you want to on Saturday. Okay? But probably one of the best ones there is called Blue Letter Bible. Okay? They have an instructional now that I watched the other night. It's a slide instructional. Have you watched that?
I haven't seen it yet. I saw it pop up there, but I haven't.
Oh, excellent. They tell you, there's some stuff that I've done with it for a while. They tell you how to do it. It's called reverse word searching. It's awesome. Okay? It tells you exactly where to click, what to do, how to find it, all the rest. There's things I love about Blue Letter Bible. I'm going to keep cranking through my notes here. And if we have to in a minute, I'll go back.
Okay.
Okay, give me one. But if I don't want to not get to this and not go back. So Blue Letter Bible, okay? Bible Gateway is great for different versions of Scripture and reading different versions. It's real basic, but it's good. Jewish Encyclopedia is excellent for historical and cultural references. They are very, very strict on their researches and all the rest. I found some good stuff the other day too. I need to add to this. Yeah. Anyway. You ready? I'm not being ugly right now. Brother Booker said something when he was teaching. And I thought, I'll tell you what I did. You know what he was teaching the other day? You guys may not have been in there, and I've heard him say it before. This is how my weird brain works. And he said, when Jesus, were you guys in there when he was preaching about they left Jesus back at the temple and there were 3 days without him? Were you guys in there when he preached that? Yeah. Okay. Remember when he said that he got up and he started quoting out of Isaiah 61? And he said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he says, everywhere in the world, that same reading was that day in every synagogue. You heard him say that before? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, in my brain, you know what I said? I said, well, if that's true, there's probably record of what was supposed to be written on each day. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to find out what day it was that he was in the temple. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, mm-hmm. In your little pea brain, right? I was like, I mean, hey, if that's what's happening, I'm going to do it. So I started digging. And I started finding more than I wanted to find. They have changed. Anyway, they broke down the Pentateuch, the Torah, into 54 sections. That's what they do. And every week a section is read, blah, 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 blah. But over 7,000 years, it has changed from like 47 sections. They have how many years it was like that. Anyway, so it got muddy quick. But anyway, bottom line is, you hear something, you want to study it out, you want to dig it out. I found some really cool websites when I looked that up. So we can maybe have this. Jewish Encyclopedia. New Advent. New Advent is supported. Let me just tell you this. Blue Letter Bible is done. It started with Calvary Chapel. Okay? So, you got to be a little bit careful. You're not going on there to get doctrine. You're not going on there to get a Bible study about oneness of God. You're doing it to help you search, okay? Because you can get tripped up quick. Next thing, Bible Gateway, I don't know who does that. Jewish Encyclopedia, obviously the Jewish people are doing it, and they're having a difficult time with Jesus Christ being God. So, New Advent is put on by Catholics. But they do great work, especially with Peter and Mary. But they do a lot of great research stuff. They really do. And you've got to take it with a grain of salt, read through it. And, you know, when they start saying that, you know, Peter's a saint, you just skip over that and keep on going. But they have a lot of good information, okay? Bible Hub. Bible Hub's really good. Really good.
It's Brother Perkins' favorite.
It's good. Yeah. I have just now really started kind of playing with it. But I'll tell you where they're really good is cross-referencing. They're awesome on cross-referencing. Last couple of times I preached, I went on there and just the cross-references of anyway, really good. Really good. Bible-history.com is unbelievable information. Even if it's names of people or whatever, if you want context of when something happened or whatever, it'll give it to you. You know, when he taught the other night, I keep referencing it, and I'm going to preach on a message right out of his message. On the altar, okay? Oh, okay. We got time. We got nothing but time. Here's how stuff happens. He's teaching, preaching, doing a great job. Great job. If you weren't there, you need to listen to that, okay? Don't waste your time with that. Start thinking about it, just altars and all the rest. Well, the first altars were built, and I started just digging, studying out altars, because he preached on them. I'm going to dig around next Sunday, whatever. So altars, you find a reference to it being built in Exodus, and it tells them how to build it. And the statement is made there. And it's just, this is how it goes. Statement is made. It says that if they made an altar out of stone, it said, don't you dare hew it out with hands. Just pile the rocks up. And you start studying, and here is why. Because in that period of time, if they hew it out with hands and they worked on it with their hands, okay, then there was a fear that they would worship the altar. And it wouldn't be about the sacrifice. And really, it has nothing to do with the altar. It has everything to do with the sacrifice. That principle starting way back in Exodus. Okay? Also, they reference that if they began to do it with hands, it would be considered a graven image, which they thought was against, obviously, the commandments of not having a graven image. So you go through all of these things, and you start going down on the principle. God wasn't interested in a pretty altar. That principle we find all through Scripture. He wanted raw material because the sacrifice mattered. He wasn't interested in the beauty of the altar. He wasn't interested. And so when it comes to me and you, we want to tell God, what do we want to do? God, I'm pretty talented. I can do this and I can do this. And God's saying, all I'm interested in is the raw material. I'll take care of the rest. So anyway, from his Bible study, going back and start digging through. Well, history, Bible history, I didn't look at it, but I guarantee you, if you looked up altar and Bible history, that you would get buried. Oh, yeah. It's probably page after page after page after page. Great, great information. And then one I told him tonight, this one you guys may not like too much. This is a little bit deep, but I'm just going to tell you. A-B-A-R-I-M, Abram, dash publications. For names, if you want to type a name in there, and the etymology of names, it's unbelievable. Okay, so those are the online ones. We got to move quick. We got 20 minutes to get through these. Okay, standard study tools. Obviously, the Bible. Don't ever get away from the Bible. Brother Booker said years ago, and it's just a great statement. He says it's amazing how much light the Bible sheds on commentary. It's just
classic.
It's a classic, classic, classic statement. It's funny, but it is the truth. Don't ever forget that the best study tool is the Bible itself. If you don't have anything else, you didn't have a computer, and you just had the Bible, you're going to be fine. Okay? Strong's Concordance. Every word in Scripture, and the gets a little iffy, but in regular word, will have a Strong's number because of the Hebrew and the Greek, and it references back to it. Interesting part about Strong's, and you get that in Blue Letter Bible, is if you click Strong's, you're seeing it on page after page after page in a book. But in Blue Letter, if you click the Strong's number, it tells you everywhere that word is used in Scripture. Okay? In every verse. The greatest part about Blue Letter is it tells you how it's translated. So a word that is, you know, water over here, well, okay, let's go back to our first lesson, knowledge. The word knowledge, you can click on it, and it's going to come up as one of the four we talked about, okay? Gnosis, phronesis, pseudesis, Sophia. One of those four. Then it's going to tell you where it comes up every time like that. I said that because sometimes they translate it into another word, and you don't even tie them together, and then all of a sudden you click on it here, and you realize, whoa, that's the same exact word in this scripture here, all the rest. So Strong's Concordance will do that for you. Bible Dictionary. Obviously, pretty self-explanatory, but it's a lot of words that maybe we don't have that would be in Webster's and all the rest. Now, really, really quick. Did I tell you guys a minute ago that if you didn't have a Bible like this, you should be jealous? I did. This Bible in the front of it, okay, we will have four of these. We'll have enough of these on Saturday for you guys. But give me a word. I feel like picking up. Do it.
Altar.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
And if you can't get one of those rare Bibles, this is a something you can get at a bookstore. You can order online.
Hey, how am I going to feel special if you tell me
that? These are priceless.
Yeah.
They are.
No, anyway. Okay. How do you spell altar? All right.
E-D.
Ed. Don't waste your time with Ed. You ready? I'm going to go through it quickly. This is a cyclopedic index for basically any word. I'm ruining all this great study you've been hearing these guys study. Ready? Altar. An elevated place. Profound. Elevated structure. Okay? Then it goes into subcategories. Uses of. Every one of these I'm getting ready to tell you, it gives a scripture reference to shore it up. Uses of. Sacrifice. Incense. National unity. A memorial. Protection. Made of. Earth. Unhewed. Woo, there you go. Let's talk about that. Unhewed stone. Stones. Natural rock. Bronze. Built. Worthily, who built altars? Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Eastern tribes, Gideon, Manoah, Israelites, Samuel, Saul, David, Elisha. Built unworthily, people that shouldn't have built them, by Gideon's father, King Jeroboam, King Ahab, King Ahaz, Israelite people. Did I tell you that every one of these has scripture reference to tell you exactly where it's at? You read the story about why it was unworthily built. Pagan altars destroyed by Gideon, King Asa, Jehoiada, King Hezekiah, King Josiah. Burnt offerings of the tabernacle. Features on altars. The specifications of it. Bezaliah, builder of the altar. Place the place of the altar outside of the tabernacle. Only priests were allowed at the tabernacle. Numbers 18:3. Defective, not acceptable on the altar. Leviticus 22:22. The putting on of blood of Solomon's temple. Described, renewed by King Esau. I can just keep going and going and going. There's two full columns just on altar. That is a cyclopedic index. If you're looking for anything to do with study, I'm telling you, one of the most primary things I do is hit the cyclopedic index. You say that's cheating. Call it what you want. It's great. It's a great resource. Cheating? Sure.
It's great, so, too, to make sure that you haven't missed anything important.
And you ready? Usually you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually you have. You think, oh, man, yeah. Whoa. You ready? This is the God's honest truth. I've studied for something, and you're a preacher, teach, and all the rest, and oh, I'm going to go to church early and pray. Okay, I'm sitting there praying. Oh, church is going to start in like 10 minutes, and I flip over the side. Oh, what am I doing? Because of that right there. It's like, so. Okay, cyclopedic index. Commentary. Commentaries are very, very good and very, very bad. You hear me? Because a commentary is strictly a theologian's opinion. Mm-hmm. So you get a really good theologian, commentaries are awesome. Imagine if Brother Booker wrote a commentary on Acts chapter 2. it'd be like, whoa. Okay? Imagine if I wrote it. Let you know about commentary. Imagine if somebody doesn't have the Holy Ghost and whatever. So, commentaries take with a grain of salt. Commentaries, you can get as simple as Matthew Henry's. You can get a paragraph per verse, or you can go to the pulpit commentary, which is about a volume this thick on one verse. Okay? So, whatever you want with commentaries. Next one, 26 Translation Bible, which kind of, in all honesty, the only benefit of the 26 Translation Bible over St. Louis Blue Letter, and then I'll show you guys how, but you'll click on tools, you'll be able to go through all the versions and see exactly what it is the 26 Translation Bible was written solely to enhance the King James. Okay? If you get your hands on a 26 Translation Bible, I let my neighbor borrow mine, and I haven't seen it, so whatever. Or I have it here. 26 Translation Bible. Only put translations there that helped the King James. When you look at like Blue Letter, you click on tools, it gives you all, you know, no matter if it helped the King James or not. Okay? Okay. Real quick. Haley's Bible Handbook, I already told you. Okay? It's great. Reference passage Bible. I think I have one of those over there. Encyclopedia Judaica is awesome. They're hard to get a hold of. They're really expensive, but if somebody has some, you can borrow some, and you may be able to find that online. Okay? Now, really quick, I'll show you a couple things, and then we'll be done. Always be on the lookout for good gems. Okay? Good little whatevers. I'm going to just, right now, I'm getting ready to share with you a couple gems. Okay? This, my mother found in a thrift store. What this was some very studious, have you seen this now? Studious scholar put this Bible together for his daughter in 1960. When I tell you, it's unbelievable the stuff that they added in and had it bound into this Bible. I can't timeline Hezekiah's tongue. And it's going to be put in right in Scripture, right where it is. You know, kind of, okay? Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah, okay? It shows the walls that he built, where everything's at. Well, when you're reading in Nehemiah, and he starts talking about all the people and what they're repairing. There's everything. It tells you where everything's at. Okay, I'm just saying. So you're referencing. Anyway, we'll make it back again. So, Jim's always looking for stuff. Digging around. Jeremiah. You ready? Jeremiah as a type of Jesus Christ. And it lists everything. Known of God before birth. Jeremiah 1:5. Christ. John 17:3. Mount Sorrows acquainted with grief. Jeremiah 15:15. Isaiah 53:3. And it goes through. There's a list all the way down that page. I won't go through it. Okay? Where do you get that? Only by somebody that. So you're always looking for little gems. Okay? Two gems that I have acquired. Okay? One, you can't use these because you want the rest you can use. My pastor's first concordance with his notes. Put a value on those. Reverend Larry Booker, presented to Reverend Larry Booker from Larry Booker, sometime in 1986, didn't have an extra $20 and wanted this really bad, and Howard Davis bought it for him. Wow. You ready? Is there some notes in there? Huh?
It's gold.
Huh? Huh? I put a value on that. Huh? How about some notes here?
always looking for gems. My pastor's Bible. I have one at my house. It's the first Bible my dad ever preached out of. Always looking for gems. Okay? What is this? How many hours does this represent?
Yeah.
How many? Okay. You know why he gave this to me? You know why? Because he studies that old Bible and then he wipes it out because there's so much stuff in it. Right? There is. Okay? And I told him one day, we were in this building, we hadn't been here a long time, and I told him, I said, if you ever get rid of one of your Bibles, I'll give you any amount of money you want for it. And I did it. I'd sell a car. You hear me? I said, I'll give you any amount of money you want for it. He said, AP, we'll see someday. Okay. Well, then I saw this Bible sitting there one day. And he writes in there every day he reads where he was and what he was doing. Every day he read. You guys have to look at it. Okay? Every day. Nashville, AMC, 11:45 p.m. Ontario, 9:10:09. G.R. Travis's funeral. 4:24:10. Baton Rouge to home. So he writes in there, okay? This is the Bible he had during the building project. Every time anything of significance happened there, he wrote it in here. And I told him one day, I said, if I have a pick of which one I get, I want that Bible. And he was preaching one morning. Were you there?
I think so.
He was teaching or preaching one morning, and the love of the Word of God, love of the Word, and blah, 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 and just going through it, whatever. And as he was preaching, he said, hey, Pete, come get your Bible. You could give me $1 million for that. You hear me? You could give me $1 million. One, obviously, because it's the man of God in my life. But two, because of the love of the Word that's manifest in all of these notes. It just, anyway, I want that to somehow get in me. I'm telling you, I want it to get in me. I want it to get in my spirit. You say, Brother Pierce, you're a minister. No, I want it to get my kid's spirit. You hear me? I want it to get my wife's spirit. I want it to get my home. I want it to get my grandkids. I want the love of the Word of God. We talked about it last week. Because they love not the truth, God let them believe a lie. I want to love this truth. I want to love this truth. And everything we've gone over tonight is somehow to open a door for you guys to get in there in a way that fits you and you enjoy. I want you to find one of these and say, man, that's fun. I enjoy that. And it drives you to study something out. I hope there's subjects that have bothered you for years, especially you that have been raised in church, that you still don't have in your guts. I want you to get a hold of a book and start digging, whether it takes a computer or a recordance of the Word, to where you walk out and you say, I got it. What do you mean you got it? Let me show you. And look, this verse, it ties in way over here. And people start seeing stuff that they have never seen. Brother Terry Torsu walked up to me a few weeks ago and started, and he said, hey, do you think thus and so means thus and so? And I went, I've never thought of that. I grabbed my Bible. I said, keep talking. Why? Because he was digging. You think I can walk up and take that revelation from him right now? No way. He's got it. And God wants to do it for you guys. I'm telling you. He does. Anyway, Saturday, we're going to 7 to 9. I read you 7 to 9. If you have your subject, let me know what it is so you guys don't go crazy. If you don't, get it quick before Saturday night. And
awesome. Thank you very much. So the homework is using at least 3 of the tools discussed, study your assigned subject, what you guys come up with, and then submit a written summary online. So he already kind of talked about that briefly for those that don't want to present, but I would say either way, if you're going to present, that's fine. Still put your written summary online in the homework submission.
Can I say this? Listen, if you have it within yourself at all, there ain't nobody in here going to be like, oh, wow, you did. That's not what this is about, okay? Unless you're just petrified of your own shadow,
Yeah, I want everybody to submit online regardless. And then if you can just, even if you only give like a couple sentences about some of the really jewels that you found, that's fine. But at least try to present something. So that's it. Go ahead and take the exam and remember normal class next week. But I'm telling you, you will not want to miss Saturday night. That will be
We'll do this. You guys, if the way it's going to happen is that probably next week's not going to take a bunch of time on presenting, right? Okay. I'll do this. I'll bring my computer next week. I'll hook it to the screen. We've done this before. Okay. I'll hook it to the screen and we'll plow through any one of the things you guys want to know. I'm telling you, we can have some fun for a while. So, you can present real quick and then we'll plow any one of the resources you guys want to. Anyway, and if you guys don't have fun, I promise you, Preston and I will.
That's right.